Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jeffersonians! It's that time of day again, and it's raining in Reading, so we're really excited up here.
It is. It's time to go jump in some puddles.
Right?
Yes.
Yes, and then now the leaves are going to start falling even more, and then you're going to have leafy puddles. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're not growing up over here.
Not at all.
It's little things in life. It really is.
It is.
Well. We have a lot going on in Jefferson, so I'm going to quickly just run through our calendar. Again, you can find all of this information at bairdforsenate.org, and you can also find it at soj51.net. We do have Steve Baird, who is running for the District 1 Senate seat.
Good morning.
Good morning. And he'll be with us today, so I want to run through these real fast just so you guys can jot them all down, and we'll go through them again here at the half hour. But tomorrow, Monday, November the 9th, Steve Baird will be at the Reading Tea Party here in Reading, and that is at 6 p.m. So if you have any questions for him, come on down and talk to him then there. Tuesday, November the 10th, there are two things going on. Chris Ann Hall and Steve Baird will be in Chester at the Almanor Rec Center at 1 p.m., and they will also be in Susanville at the Veterans Hall from 5 to 9 p.m. On Wednesday, November the 11th, Steve Baird will be at the Calpines Lodge in Alturas from 6 to 8. Thursday, November 12th, Steve Baird will be at the Black Bear Diner in Wairika at 2 p.m. Saturday, November the 14th, Mark Baird and Steve Baird will be down at the Liberty Tour in Live Oak from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is a wonderful, wonderful seminar-esque tour that has been going on here in Northern California for, what, a year now?
Yeah,
they kind of do it every
year.
Couple of months in different locations.
Yeah, quarterly, it seems
quarterly,
like.
Quarterly, yeah. Tickets are $25. It comes with a very delicious lunch. And again, Mark Baird will be there, so you can talk about Jefferson. Steve Baird will be there, so you can talk about the Senate and all your questions with that. Tuesday, November the 17th, two events going on. Board of Supervisor presentation in Placer County at 9 a.m. And then Mark Baird will be at the Italian Picnic Grounds at 581 Highway 49 in Sutter Creek at 6 p.m. that same day. Saturday, November the 21st, Steve Baird will be down in Sierra County for a social at 4 p.m. Saturday, December the 5th, there will be a town hall for the state of Jefferson in Oregon. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
They got their act together.
Yeah, Josephine County is the first Oregon county looking to go.
They are, and that's going to be at 1830 Redwood Avenue in Grants Pass from 12 to 3. And then I do want to announce now, because I know people are going to be working during the week, we are planning a Declaration Day in Sacramento, January the 6th, which is a Wednesday.
Yeah, awful Ooh. Busy for a bunch of people that are not going anywhere.
Yeah, you know, we're just stuck in the mud. You know?
Yep, grinding along. And... It's looking like maybe Tuesday also at Amador County at the Board of Supervisors, there may be an agenda item for the state of Jefferson.
Oh, that's this Tuesday?
Yeah, this coming, like in 2 days.
Ow?
Yeah, we're working to confirm that and find out what's going on. Maybe we've got another Glenn County on our hands that they heard the message once and that was enough to understand what they need to start fixing things for their people. So, but busy, as always. So, you know, for me, it's interesting to see the Oregon movement start to go and see what will happen from the other counties from there in Oregon. I know there's a lot of discontent in Jackson County, Coos County, Douglas County, Klamath, Lake County.
You hear what happened in Coos County this last week?
I did.
Yeah. Go Coos County. Coos County.
So.
Oh, for those who might not know.
Those who don't know.
You're like, what's going on? What was it? Nullification of state and federal gun laws in that county.
Federal laws. The sheriff actually said that you're not going to enforce unconstitutional state and federal gun regulations in my county, or I'll cancel your memorandum of understanding with law enforcement. Which is a very bold move. Up here in Northern California, we have 30 sheriffs that have signed on to a lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles because they're basically attempting to dispose of detachable magazines for firearms. So the worm is starting to turn. Things are starting to change. You know, I think a lot of our elected officials are waking up to the fact that it's not just politics as usual. There's something going on here, and it needs to be stopped.
And they're certainly a little scared because we have amazing people who are starting to run for office, like Steve Baird, who's running for the 1st District here in Northern California for the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, thank you. We actually did an event yesterday. We went and walked the Veterans Parade in Shasta City, and it was the weather was a little bit drier than it is today. Mm-hmm. It's actually fantastic. We were hiding in the shade a little bit to keep from getting burned.
Nice.
But it was a great event. A lot of folks coming out there, lining a number of streets out there. I was amazed at how large it was. And Red was telling me it was one of the larger ones in Northern California. So
yeah, it is actually the largest Veterans Parade in Northern California.
Yeah.
You know, but up here in the north, we have a very large veterans community, very active veterans community that has a lot of different groups. You know, we were privileged to walk with the Missing in America Project, who, you know, for those that don't know, they identify the remains of unclaimed U.S. servicemen and get them to their next of kin and get them interred.
Yeah, and it was great walking with that group, and we had a lot of fun yesterday.
Well, and I think it was nice to actually walk the crowd, not ride in a convertible, pretending to be one of the people as you gave the prom queen shake as you went by.
But, I can't see you doing that.
No, that wasn't
I
us.
I just can't see you doing that.
No, what were we called? The real parade people on foot?
Real parade people.
Yeah. You know, Steve Baird's competition was in town. And
Did he go?
Yeah.
He did.
He was in a convertible.
He was in a convertible giving the prom queen wave.
Did they recognize him or did they recognize you?
They recognized him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Most people are like, who is that? And I'm like, you're
Oh, no, not like the people in the crowd didn't recognize him.
I'm like,
as he drove by, you know, somebody read his name off of a sheet of paper.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay, well, that one makes sense. I'm like, everybody I talk to, they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he had a very nice 49er sweatshirt on. So, you know, I hate to tell him, though, Shasta Lake City's Raider territory.
It's all about knowing your constituency.
Yeah. I wonder if you could name the quarterback for the Niners. I don't know. I don't want to get down the fantasy football rabbit trail.
I don't know anything about football. Not my thing.
Oh. So, Steve here is going to be very, very busy over the next couple of weeks getting out there and pressing the flesh, getting to meet the people and letting people ask him some questions and some things that are going on.
So if you have any questions today, definitely feel free to call in at 605-4567, or you can toss your questions in the chat room at kcnr1460.com, and then we'll try and fit all those in as we go throughout the program. But I'm sure that Steve has some updates and stuff that he wants to tell us. I know last time he brought up awesome ideas of because his district is so large. It's, what, 11 counties?
11 counties.
11 counties of using technology to be able to actually find out what your constituents feel about different issues through text messaging and emails and things like that.
We do have our Twitter address. It's at Baird for Senate. And we'll use this as an intermediary where we can fire out questions to the constituency and actually get answers back, because as an employee of about a million employers, it's what those people think that's important in the district, and it's not my feelings. I'm not going to go represent you with my conscience. It's going to be actually you telling me what is good for you, and we'll bring that to the State House.
Yeah. And with that, we have to get on to our first break, and off we go.
Yeah. So, again, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, or hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
The government is going to take care of you.
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Hi, this is Don from Redding Tire Factory. Getting ready for a road trip, RVing, or off-road adventures? Redding Tire Factory can make sure your tires are ready to roll. Passenger, light truck, RV, and ATV tires. Redding Tire Factory carries a wide variety of name brand tires, including Goodyear, Cooper, Yokohama, and Nokian. Our tires come with the Best in the West warranty. Redding Tire Factory offers a complimentary 20-point vehicle inspection free. Redding Tire Factory, corner of California and Eureka Way in beautiful downtown Redding. Always the right tire, always the right price.
It's no joke. We are in a serious water crisis, and the city of Redding is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet the demands. Redding residents did an excellent job of conserving water this past summer, but the days are cooler and shorter now, and plants and lawns don't need as much water. We can meet our goal by running sprinklers just 2 days a week, or set your timer to 60% of normal, and be sure to turn sprinklers off altogether before and after it rains. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227.
Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's a storm on the horizon, and my adrenaline's running wild, but I got my brother standing next to me. So praise the Lord and pass the ammo. Stars, stripes, and caps.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, where it is always hopping. Again, our phone number here is 530-605-4567, or you can hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. Today is a very special day because we have a guest here in the studio, and his name is Steve Baird. Again, that is Steve Baird. He's running for Senate here in District 1, and he's totally awesome.
Yeah. That's what we
support. I'll sum it up easy. He's awesome.
So you want to give us some of your ideas on some legislation? I know we were talking about one yesterday. I found really interesting. You were saying pass one, remove two, or
It's actually my wife developed this one, and I loved it. It's every time you propose a bill, why don't you take one of those old 1800 or 1900 bills that no longer have any relevance to the state anymore, and just pull it off the books? You know, the California law book is a few bounds of paper as it is, so take some useless ones off. I'm sure there's something about walking your chicken on a leash across a dirt road that doesn't need to be on the books anymore. So take some of these off.
I know in Boston they have still have a hitching post rule, that in front of every business you're supposed to have a hitching post for your horses and a trough bucket for them.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we don't really have horses in the middle of Boston anymore. So,
So there's a number of useless laws or fairly antiquated items that can come off.
Yeah.
So, and I think it also will give the legislatures an opportunity to dig through all the laws, find out what's there, and realize that when you're passing 900 a year, you're creating more more law-breaking citizens than you are doing any good. So take one off. And we'll be working on that. So it'll be kind of a fun bill, but it'll also, I think, educate the legislators and find out what's actually in the books.
Yeah, that way you're not just passing all these laws and you're not reading them or paying attention to what's going on.
And thanks for you daisy chaining to the next one. You have to post it, and it has to be online for 72 hours before you can bring it up for a vote. So you can't do these midnight sneak jobs. And also, you have to sign on that you've read and understand this before you vote on it. So you're basically swearing that you have done that. You've done due diligence on a particular bill before you just sign away on it. And so that would keep from these, well, I'll trade this for that. And you actually have to read it. And it's under the penalty of perjury.
Ooh.
That would be fascinating. I bet
I
that
like
would slow
that.
The process down quite a bit.
And if you don't read the bill, then you simply can't vote on the bill.
And if you think that we can knock down from making 900 pieces of legislation that are all over the place, get that down to maybe 100 or 200 pieces of solid legislation, I think we'd all be better off.
I think we have to remember, when we say 900 pieces of legislation, we're not talking about a paragraph. We're talking about pages and pages and pages and pages. I mean, we're talking 20 pages of bill sometimes.
Right. Well, my question is if government works the way that it's supposed to, like they claim, why do they have to fix it 900 times a year?
It would also be great to have California in a part-time legislature, too. Kind of reduce the bill flow as well, so they'd only attack real issues when they're going through the legislative process. And, you know, all the resolutions and stuff like that is nice, stuff like that, but that's kind of a time waste. I think we can get away from a lot of those items and concentrate on really real hardcore legislation that makes a considerable amount of difference to California.
But the main thrust of your candidacy is, even though there are these wonderful ideas with California and things like that, is to expedite the process of Jefferson, correct?
It really is. The first pieces of legislation I'd be proposing is one senator per county, and of course we'll immediately jump down the rabbit trail of, well, you can't do that because Reynolds' decision was law. You have to follow the law, and it's just a pure opener to, especially when you have the number of lawyers that are probably sitting in these houses, that the Supreme Court does not make law. They cannot make law.
Yeah, well, they have no authority.
They cannot even force law to be created.
Yeah, they can only advise.
They can only advise. And so for them to be able to turn over how 38 state houses elect their representatives is basically criminal. One of the justices knew what would happen, and he spoke out vehemently against it.
Frankenberger, wasn't it?
Yep.
Marshall.
Yeah, and in doing so, he said that, you know, the city centers will basically dominate the U.S., which is exactly what's happened. So you can call him Oracle Frankenberger.
Very true.
Going back to the Reynolds decision, it's an opinion, and they opined that, hey, this is the way it should be. Well, A, the courts cannot manage elections. I mean, they just don't have the ability to do it, even though they say that all elections are under our purview. And the one man, one vote, and redoing what the how the Senate makeup is, you know, is criminal, basically on Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which guarantees us a constitutional republic. So how could that be written in plain English? And the Constitution is very thin, and they don't even bother to read it. The Supreme Court does not even bother to read the Constitution, and they're supposed to be able to defend it. And they're only supposed to basically be making rulings under the Constitution. And for them to step outside of that and look at how states are operating, they have no jurisdiction at all even to comment on something like this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of sad that the states back, you know, 50-plus years ago knuckled under on that when they could have said, hey, Ninth and Tenth Amendments, hey, this is not in your jurisdiction. It's not under your purview. And so you should not be telling us how to operate our state houses. We'll send who we want to represent us, and how we send them there is our business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's you know, certainly one of the problems is the disproportional representation. The other crisis we're facing in California is the dilution of vote, and we know the current sitting senator's view on dilution of vote. He actually believes that it's right and proper to disenfranchise and dilute the vote of citizens so that undocumented workers, illegal aliens, can be counted in voting districts and be given representation in our legislature by taking representation away from American citizens. What's your opinion of that?
Well, actually, we'll get an interesting case out of the Supreme Court. They actually took this case up. It's Edwell versus Abbott in Texas, and it's exactly this case. So if you kind of, let's use a fake number example for Los Angeles County. If you have 10 million people living there and 3 million people are not residents or basically citizens of the United States, putting it politely, they're being counted. And so if you have 40 million people in California, and you have 3 million people in Los Angeles County alone that are being counted, then can you imagine you're almost getting a 10% dilution of vote in the northern part of the state, because we only have about 1.7 million people up here ourselves in these 20 to 24 counties. And so For our own representative to say, well, I think they should have, you know, representation too, they're literally stripping one-tenth of our ability to defend ourselves in the state houses just by making that statement. So I think that's why.
Well, I ran some rough numbers on what it should look like representation-wise if you take out the number of illegal aliens that California acknowledges, and it's almost a 15% swing in the state houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe we could lighten our load. We wouldn't have to be representing 11 counties. Maybe we can put a couple more blocks together. But, I mean, let's get a senator per county to start off with, and then all of the legislation that's going through our rural counties and our rural lifestyles can be defended against the urban concentration centers.
Absolutely. Yeah, 'cause that's one that sticks in my craw is when someone that supposedly represents me stands up and publicly voices his opinion and actively supports taking away my constitutional representation and removing my representative government to hand it to someone who's not even a citizen. I mean, that's a major issue and problem for me.
Yeah,
but digging a little bit down, you talk about illegal alien stuff. Like, there is a process to become a citizen of the United States. And if we follow even what's on the books today, we don't have to do anything special. We just basically have to get people in the right queues to become citizens. Yes. And then this entire problem goes away. The debate goes away. So we really need to, you know, concentrate on processing people who are going through the system. There are people that it takes up to 7 years, and just, you know, sneaking in under a fence at night does not make you a citizen.
Absolutely not.
So,
and speaking of dissolution of vote and all that, one thing that we had brought up last week was the Electoral College, how California is one of those, you know, state take all. And with the presidential election coming up, you know, just out of curiosity, do you think that state should be state take all in the Electoral College, or it should be proportioned by vote?
I think you've been reading my my list of bills that I want to put through. I think that actually the way that a district, basically a House of Representative district, that's how the vote should go for that district. That would be a little bit more minutiae as far as getting representation closer to that area. Mm-hmm. A winner-take-all doesn't work in a state this large. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know California is too large to govern.
I would support that formula with the caveat that we go back to the constitutional method of the legislature gets to elect the senators. That way the state has its voice and the people has its voice.
Yeah, and basically we'd have to take down the 17th Amendment, because I believe what you're talking about is the state had its representation and the federal government, mm-hmm. and then the people elected the House. And so mm-hmm. you had both views of how the federal government would run. That was efficient. I believe that our founding fathers were geniuses in this regards, and we should go back to that. We should take the 17th Amendment out and get back to having the states elect our senators.
I agree with that completely.
But it is time for us to roll off to our next break. We can go ahead and, do you want to take the caller right now?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and grab Todd right now, and then we'll roll off to our break.
Good morning, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Jefferson State of Mind. And good morning, Steve. I was talking to a friend of mine last night who's on the fence about, he lives in Plumas County, about the state of Jefferson. And I was explaining to him about the collecting of the signatures, the support statements that are being presented to the Board of Supervisors, you needed 51% of the gubernatorial election of the last election of the governor, but he made a good point. He said, wait a minute, the last elections were registered voters, but the support statements aren't registered, don't have to be registered voters. So I was wondering, is there case law that makes up, that says this is what you need, the 51% of those support statements?
Well, we'll go ahead and take your question in a couple parts. First, we'll go to Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. All it says is that both state houses and both houses of Congress have to give us a thumbs up in order for it to become a new state. But it doesn't say there are any particular rules in this. And so we're using the declaration and petition process in order to get either the supervisors or a vote of the people to go ahead and sign in. And so I'm going to use a ridiculous example, but I think it points it out. If a five-year-old walks across a street, not in a crosswalk, can that five-year-old be ticketed for jaywalking? And the answer is yes. And so even that five-year-old is subject to the rules, laws, and regulations of that county, and as such should be able to sign on and say, my name and is good enough to be represented, because I have a board of supervisors here that should be representing me. And so he may not be a big taxer, but if he buys a piece of candy and gets taxed on that, he's paying taxes into that community as well. So everybody, whether they're a registered voter or not, their signature counts toward that 50% plus one.
And under the First Amendment have a right to petition their government for redress of grievances, because they are beholden to the representative authority.
I would say we've even seen high school students go to city council saying, hey, this is an issue that we're seeing, do something about it. And city councils listen to them, too, even though they're not 18. So it's not a magic number.
Could you answer then, why do you use the 51% of the gubernatorial election process? Why wouldn't it be 51% of all the residents of the county then in that process, if you're going to count it as every citizen has a right to petition their government? Then why are the numbers being used as the smaller number, which is registered voters who actually showed up or decided to vote in the last election cycle?
Well, the reason that we settled upon that number and that formula is because the state of California itself has already established that as a precedent to bring the question on a ballot measure or before the legislature. So it would be very difficult for the state of California to argue that that number of signatures is invalid for a petition of the people when they have already established the process and the framework of that themselves.
So there is case law, anyhow, that would back that up. I guess that's what I'm getting to.
Yes.
There's case law that says California has used this in the past.
Yes.
And what is that case law then? So that you would be able to say, here is the case, here is the ruling that said we only need 51% of the registered voters in the last election cycle, last governor's election cycle.
Yes, there is case law that we can stand on as that predicate and as that precedent to defend the method that we're using. It's actually the reason that we chose the method. There was a great discussion of how do we do this, what's the best way to go about it, and basically we're following the state's own formula. So if they want to disqualify our petitions and our addressment, then they themselves are disqualifying their own methods.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Hey, one last question. Steve, when are you going to be up in Chester? Are you going to be up there with Chris Ann Hall? Is that all going to be the same time, or do you know what the date is?
It will be. It's Tuesday, November 10th, and we'll be in Chester at 1 p.m., and then we're going to move the Traveling Roadshow to Susanville at 5 p.m.
Okay. Well, thanks, and good luck. Great show, and I'll keep listening.
All right, thank you,
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
If you have any more questions, feel free to call in at 605-4567 or hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Are you coming to the tree where Dad nickled out for his love to flee? Strange things did happen, you know, stranger would it be? Because we met at midnight in the hanging tree.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy said, be sure to let everyone know Beth and Johnny had a little baby boy. Now we're doing a lot of kerosene deliveries and selling a lot of used and new Toyo Tommy stoves. So give us a call for your free estimate. We're trying to fill the tanks before winter sets in. The drivers have snowshoes on their backs, so they're ready for winter. Kathy's got a bunch of new tank filters and gauges in, so let us know on your next delivery and we'll bring them out. Be sure to use ethanol-free 93 and all the lawnmowers and weed ears before you put them back in the shed. We got another load of clear pearl in for all the portable heaters and propane bottles for the others. Northern Lights Energy, for your bulk deliveries for home, farm, ranch, construction, and logging. In Corning, call Robin, Joe in Weaverville, and in Redding, the rest of the crew. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group. And the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. I'm going to quickly run through just the events, highlight some of the events for this week. We are here in the studio with Steve Baird, who is running against Senator Ted Gaines for the 1st District here in Northern California. And so he will be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow, Monday, November the 9th at 6 p.m. Tuesday, November the 10th, Steve Baird and Chris Ann Hall will be in Chester at the Almanor Rec Center at 1 p.m. and then over in Susanville at the Veterans Hall from 5 to 9. Wednesday, November the 11th, Steve will be at the Cal Pines Lodge in Alturas from 6 to 8. November 12th, Mr. Baird will be at the Black Bear Diner in Wairika at 2 p.m. Saturday, November the 14th, Mark Baird will be speaking about Jefferson, and Steve Baird will be there as well, at the Liberty Tour down in Live Oak from 9 to 4. Tickets are $25, and it does include a lunch. Tuesday, November the 17th, Board of Supervisor presentation for the State of Jefferson in Placer County at 9 a.m. And then Mark Baird will be over at the Italian Picnic Grounds in Sutter Creek at 6 p.m. December the 5th, again, there's a town hall in Grants Pass, Oregon from 12 to 3. And then January 6th, there will be Declaration Day in Sacramento. All of those events are located at bairdforsenate.org, which is where you can also find more information about Steve Baird's candidacy for Senate here in District 1 and at soj51.net.
Absolutely.
Whew.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Busy guy.
We're getting busy. Must be the holiday season.
And speaking of smooth criminals, some of the stuff going on with the state of California,
mm-hmm.
How many people have been following the story about Jerry Brown and using public funds to search for oil and gas deposits on his own land?
I heard about that one.
Yeah, that's Ooh. Rapidly coming to the forefront. I think Jerry kind of stepped in it there. And you know the funny thing is for everybody, do you remember the picture of Jerry Brown at the Stony Ford Rodeo with the State of Jefferson flag in front of his face some months ago?
Yeah.
That was when he was up there doing that with the oil thing.
Ooh.
The irony of that is kind of funny to me.
That is funny.
So, and I just want to throw out there, anybody that lives in the Colusa area or out there by Jerry Brown's property that has a camera and is willing to travel out there and take pictures of his oil wells, please contact us at 530-221-0101 at the Shasta Lantern. We would love to get our hands on some of those pictures.
They have drones now, you know.
They do. We can do some drone pictures, whatever. But we would love to have some pictures of Jerry Brown's publicly funded oil wells.
That's funny.
So, and just some of the criminality out of the state of California, and some of the things that are going on that need to be fixed, and mm-hmm. that we hope to bring guys like Steve to the forefront and to help fix it and help expedite the Jefferson process and get us our voice back.
Yeah,
that'll be one of the key pieces of legislation to go through. Let us go. Let us self-govern.
Yeah,
we've turned in our declarations, we turn in our petitions, and basically say that we prefer to go our own way, and it's definitely possible fiscally. It's almost a no-brainer. We'd be similar to that of the size of Idaho with similar types of industries, and we mm-hmm. can make a clean break and govern as we see fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unleash the entrepreneurial spirit of the North State, because it's here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a state of doers, of thinkers, of developers. Mm-hmm. We were traditionally, and there's no reason that we couldn't get back to that again.
That's one thing that always struck me about Northern California versus Southern California is the mentality is so different.
Producers versus consumers?
Yeah, especially when you get into the bigger cities. It's a very, very different mentality of, you know, we don't want our houses to be 3 feet from the next guy. We want, you know, 300 feet or acres, you know? It's like, we want our privacy. We want to be able to enjoy the land and really...
Yeah, but I think it's also about choice as well. We choose to live with distance from our neighbors, stuff like that. Or we can choose to live, you know...
In close quarters.
In close suburban quarters. Mm-hmm. But it's all a choice, and I don't think we should be steered one way or another.
Yeah.
No, or driven out by the means of economic warfare and forced into the mm-hmm. population centers, because it is an all-out attack on the rural lifestyle and the ability of... rural people to exist. We're working a story right now. California now has egg cops. Egg cops.
Oh, yeah?
They legitimately mm-hmm. have enforcement agents that go around and investigate eggs. They were just loose in Eastern Shasta and up in Modoc County, mm-hmm. and they went through stores and found people that were selling local farm fresh eggs and forced the stores to destroy the stocks, to destroy all of the eggs. They cited the store owners, they cited the farmers for trying to sell farm fresh eggs.
Because it was missing one small number or something ridiculous like that.
Basically because they're not licensed under the FDA to sell eggs they're not labeled, you know, A or double A or single A or, and we have...
They're dangerous.
They're dangerous. We have egg cops now in California. We have one that we're investigating. A guy owns his own orchard. Mm-hmm. Has a little fruit stand next to his orchard alongside the road, picks the fruit out of his orchard, goes to his fruit stand right in his orchard, sells it. They showed up, cited him, shut him down, told him he cannot even give his own fruit to his own family unless it's put through a pesticide bath and irradiated first.
Pesticides and irradiation.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel comfortable going to a grocery store this afternoon.
Well, that's how can you say there's not an all-out attack on the rural lifestyle in California?
Yeah. Well, I'll say, at farmers markets, you don't have to do that.
Well, they're actually working on shutting down farmers markets.
That's true.
Now.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, they're coming after the farmers market next. And, you know, another one that I'm sure Steve's going to get a very big dose of up in Modoc County is NEQA and the water agencies and things like that. That's a big bone up there.
Yeah, I think you can get close to dancing on the word extortion there. You must join, or we'll come after you, and you can take a 10x fee to the agency that created them. So what a wonderful world that'll be.
Sounds like the ACA.
Yeah.
If you have to pass a law to force somebody to do something, then, you know, it probably isn't that good.
But if Justice Roberts says that's a tax, and so these people are being taxed at the whim of appointed people, then we have a serious problem there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, legal as can be. And the way that they try to get around it is they say, okay, you don't have to go with this non-governmental organization. Okay, you can sign up directly with the actual governmental organization, but then you have to pay 10 times of what you're supposed to if you don't sign up with the NGO.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's insane. And, you know, following the different, you have this one water board that answers to this water board that's appointed, that answers to this bigger water board, that answers to this bigger water board. And you've got to go through like 8 different water boards before you get to somebody that's actually been elected.
Would that be considered private public partnership?
It is absolutely public-private partnership, or as we used to call it from the 40s to the 90s, Soviet.
Right on that one.
Well,
let's see, do we still have a caller on the line?
Oh, we do.
We do. Mary! Good morning,
hi.
Mary. How are you today?
Hi, everyone, and hi to your guest. This is a positioning thing now with like Jerry Brown. You were mentioning Jerry Brown, you know, doing his oil wells or whatever. Agenda 30's been signed, and they will take over the farms. They will take over the food. They will give you food. They will give you water. They will decide whether or not you live or die. Okay, fine. But you'll watch some of these highfalutin guys, whoever they are, they're positioning themselves. It's now a war game. Just like Jerry Brown, you know, he's putting in the oil, he's finding the property, he's doing this and that. That's just one guy. But now that it's signed, I think there's going to be a lot of movement. I don't know what movement. I'm going to keep an eye on it, but I think that's what's happening because they do have to shut down the farms. Or put them under government subsidy. They have to control the food, control the water, to control the population, to eliminate the population, you know, down this path that I don't think I'm going to live long enough to see, but I'm very fearful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that I recently was preparing for an Ignite presentation on the Constitution, which is basically a 5-minute with 20 slides and a 15-second vignette on each. And in my final slide, I did want to, you know, present something on 2030 and basically saying, here, we can either go back to the Constitution or get you what you get. So I looked up an image on 2030, and the funny place it took me to was whitehouse.gov. And where they had actually signed off on it. And it actually blew me away that I actually found
it. I have a copy of
there.
It. I even converted it to Word so that it's easier to search.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and kick it across to Red, and then he can share with you.
I'd appreciate that, Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pulled it off yesterday, and I'm going, what? What? Very shocking. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll let you go. You guys are having a great show. And right. Good luck to you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
And I think at the end of the day, what it is really coming down to, and people need to stop being afraid of saying it, is the contest that we're facing is no longer Republicans and Democrats or rich versus poor or anything like that. We are really coming down to two camps in this country, and those two camps are, do you support America as a constitutional republic as the way that it was intended,
mm-hmm.
or do you want to dissolve our protections and our constitution and place ourselves under a one-world government?
Yeah.
That's the contest that we're at.
Yeah. Do you want to be responsible for yourself or somebody else be responsible for you?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And, you know, the state of Jefferson is the way to start restoring that constitutional mm-hmm. authority and that constitutional republic. There
yeah.
is generations worth of work that has to be done to get ourselves back to where we were. But this is where we start, and we start doing it with guys like Steve Baird.
Yeah, because, you know, it only takes one guy to start, you know, a firestorm, and we're hoping it's you in the Senate here next year.
Well, and hopefully we can ignite the state of
yeah.
Jefferson and actually be that shining beacon, be the silver bullet to hopefully drop the beast and
yeah.
change it back and do a reboot on the Constitution.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, your current lack of competition incumbent, Ted Gaines,
mm-hmm.
here is a guy that how many of the counties that he represents have signed on with the Jefferson Declaration, and he
right.
hasn't even looked at the proposal yet.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary thought. If you go through them, you got Siskiyou and Modoc and Lassen. Plumas is coming online with a
mm-hmm.
boat in next year in 16. Then you do Sierra County, and
mm-hmm.
it just keeps going further and further, and it's continually losing them.
And he won't even look at the Jefferson proposal or talk to anybody. And they're making a leg-breaking motion here, so I think we better go to our break.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm one. Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Yummy, juicy ribs. All-you-can-eat baby back ribs, coleslaw, bread, beans, drinks, and dancing to country music star Chad Bushnell. All that plus live, silent, and dessert auctions, all to benefit friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair. Please join us Saturday, November 21st for All-You-Can-Eat Baby Back Ribs and an evening of fun with friends. Tickets available at the fairgrounds office or call 378-6789.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
What a fool. All right, come on.
Oh, no, you didn't. Better watch your back, boy. Keep running. This ain't just a game. I'll never stop coming. I've got my arsenal. I put out the call. And when I'm finished, y'all, you'll be a rag doll.
Fool, try to diss me, now you're gonna wish you were dead.
Oh no, you didn't.
After I deliver, your blood will be a river of red.
Oh no, you didn't.
Better beware when no one's there to defend you.
Oh no, you didn't.
So many ways to kill, it's gonna be a thrill to end you.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. We've only got a few minutes left on the show today, but we have thoroughly enjoyed having Steve Baird here. He is running for the Senate seat here in Northern California for District 1, which is pretty much almost all of California. On the eastern side.
On the eastern side of California, it is.
Eastern slope.
So if you live anywhere in Northern California on the eastern side, he's hopefully going to be your representative soon.
He's going to be out everywhere. Get out, go meet him, go to these events, go and shake his hand, ask him questions.
Yes.
And we think you'll come away with the same feeling we have. He's the man for the job.
Yep. And so his event calendar is at BairdForSenate.org. And he'll also be at several Jefferson events, which, of course, are located at SOJ51.net.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to getting out there and getting the hard questions and getting the thoughts and feelings of the constituency.
And you will get them.
State. And I expect to get them, and I hope that they're hard questions. They want the easy ones.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that current Mr. Gaines, Empty Suit Gaines, hides so much in Sacramento is because when you hit him with a hard question, he kind of has this deer in the headlights look like, where's my consultant to explain what that is to me?
Yeah, has he been on KCNR since my last conversation with
him? I don't know. Since he was obliterated by a tiny girl that made him look like a fool, I don't know if he's been on. Yeah, that was. We ought to dig that up for the campaign. That was hilarious.
Yeah, because you could hear his voice change because I have a very delicate voice on the radio, and you could just hear him go, "Oh, this will be a softball question."
Yeah.
He didn't come back after the break. We do have a question in the chat room. Are you going to be doing any TV ads?
TV ads. Well, that's interesting because we really don't have that much of a budget yet. But we have been producing our own videos. We did a good hour and a half, 2 hours with our videographer, Roger Exeter, yesterday. And so we'll be putting out a bunch of clips on our website, BairdForSenate.org.
Okay.
So you'll be able to see a number of them there. And that in concert with what my wife's been producing, our fireside chats. So
if there's
a particular issue that you want me to address, go on to the website, make contact, ask your question, and we'll put a video out there for you addressing those issues.
And that ties into making use of new technologies and my phone that I thought was off. Excuse me there.
I thought that was Bob. I'm like, what are you doing over there?
But making use of...
Putting out some old spies.
And making use of the new technologies and the new capabilities and make use of the multimedia revolution to streamline the campaign and bring you down to the down to the people where you can connect with them.
Yeah, it'd be much easier to connect that way with such a large district.
Mm-hmm.
But we can have that instant contact. And, you know, we can eventually we'll be able to do some Skype meetings
mm-hmm.
where people can come in there and we can directly interact all mm-hmm. over the constituency.
And where can people go to donate to your campaign?
It would be at BairdForSenate.org. It's up in the upper right-hand corner there.
Okay.
Spell it. People need you to spell it, Baird.
BairdForSenate.org.
Excellent. I was say, because we're out of time. We're going to have you back again.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Steve Baird for Senate, and this is the Jefferson State of Mind. Time to make it yours, Jeffersonians.
Yeah, we'll see you next Sunday. Till then, keep the sunny side up.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu will be at the White House Monday for talks with President Obama. Correspondent Greg Cluxton has a preview.
The Prime Minister and President have long had a tense relationship, which was further strained by Mr. Obama's pursuit of the nuclear deal with Iran. Netanyahu was a chief critic of that deal and lobbied Republican lawmakers to oppose its implementation. Meanwhile, ahead of this week's meeting, U.S. officials say while the president remains committed to a two-state Israeli-Palestinian peace deal, he doesn't believe it's possible before he leaves office in January 2017. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The new commander of the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet says the Iran nuclear deal hasn't done much to change Iran's behavior. Vice Admiral Kevin Donegan says the Iranians continue to do things they did before the July deal, such as smuggle military equipment to Yemen and harass shipping on the Persian Gulf. The investigation